You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along, everyone, to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Thursday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Leicester, Musselburgh and Wolverhampton on this edition. But we've also got racing to come from Fontwell and Sedgefield over the obstacles. And there's a couple of Irish cards on Thursday as well from Bellewstown and Tipperary. You'll hear every race live from 1:50pm in the company of Stephen Powell, Gary Capewell and Ross Briley. But ahead of all the action, my name is Sam Norris and joining me on the podcast today, Chris Pimlott. Hello, Pimmers.
A very good afternoon to you, Sam. A beautiful day here in Yorkshire, and well, at last the summer is starting to come out and play.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's been a superb couple of days of weather, and to be fair, for the last few weeks we've seen generally good firm ground across the board, which is good because the start of the summer didn't look as though we were going to get any fast ground.
No, I mean, again, We saw a drop of rain at York, which prevented them from watering, yes, which meant they still kept the fast ground. We've had proper summer flat ground, which, to be fair, a lot of these horses, that's what they're bred to race on, and at long last they've got it.
Yeah, it's certainly good for those horses to be given the chance on optimum ground. We must start the podcast though, Pimmers, with the sad news that reached us last night. Tom O'Ryan unfortunately losing his battle with cancer and has unfortunately passed away. The tributes have been obviously flooding in all morning. A man that you knew personally as well, Chris.
Yeah, I knew Tom very well. Obviously he was a well-respected journalist and broadcaster. But again, behind the scenes, he was much more than that. He was a real good coach to many of the young riders, took many of them under his wing. And he'll be sadly missed, you know, because he had it all, really. He was a good personality. He was kind, he was caring. And the main thing is, he had a real love and a passion for horse racing. Mm. And, you know, that always shone through. I feel very sad for his family and obviously his brother Robin, who he was very, very close to. You know, they're really gonna miss him, and as you say, the tributes and everything else have been pouring in regarding him since we found out sort of like 7 o'clock last night.
Yeah, which I assume was slightly too late for the morning paper, the Racing Post. I think Alistair Down will be writing a piece, and there'll be further tributes in Thursday's edition of the Post, which I'm sure will be an interesting read. But as Pimmer says, there, condolences to all of Tom's family and everyone involved. Elsewhere, though, we'll move on to some of the other news. Sticking with the jockey theme, the big spread on the Racing Post this morning, the man who could be king, Jim Crowley, has been cut with us here at William Hill into 5-2 for the jockey's title. Sylvester D'Souza, still the 2-7 favourite. He's moved on to 70 winners, has Jim Crowley, just 4 behind Sylvester D'Souza. Looked for a long way this season as though SDS was going to dominate the title like he did last year, but Jim Crowley keeping him on his toes.
I think so. I think he's a very positive, upbeat and bulletin from his agent that he's going to really try,
yes,
to get Jim a lot more mounts, get him onto some winners and keep that momentum going. I think a couple of things you've got to think about here is Jim Crowley, because he's not a household name,
yes,
as in Ree, Dettori, Buick, the boys that are playing with the big boys all the time, Ryan Moore. And again, I don't particularly feel that any of those guys, even if they're in touching distance of a jockey's championship, would it really be high on their agenda of going for? Whereas somebody like Jim Crowley, he's you know, not quite Premier Division. He's in the position now where he could actually have a jockey's title. I'm sure he'll go full tilt for it. And again, you know, he's riding very well. Confidence is a great thing. And the other thing is, because he's riding plenty of winners, plenty of trainers want to put him up. I think the slight negative him and Sylvester D'Souza is, Sylvester D'Souza can do 8-1 or has done 8-1. Jim Crowley only does 8-7.
Mm.
So it gives Sylvester D'Souza a much broader spectrum,
yes,
of getting rides, because he's got that little bit of cushioning between 8-1 and 8-7. So he's more opportunity to get him. Now, whether those horses as lowly rated as that to only be carrying 8 stone 1, 8 stone 2 are good enough to win, I'm not sure how that stat works. Mm. But I do feel that the opportunities for rides will be bigger for Sylvester de Souza than Jim Crowley. But who knows? It might just add a little bit of spice to the last few weeks of the flat season. You know, hopefully it'll just give us all a little bit of an interest. But I think, again, it's had to be somebody like Jim Crowley to come out of the pack to make it a race for the Jockeys' Championship. I still would be favouring SDS.
Yes, it's a very good point you make there. And we saw sort of last year Sylvester de Souza going here, there and everywhere to ride winners to try and get himself up that leaderboard. Whereas Ryan Moore, Frankie Vittori, as you say, they'd be much more concerned about riding one horse in France, in America, than they would a full book of rides and at a workaday meeting in the UK. As you say, it just doesn't hold the allure for those absolute top jocks. Which I guess is fine in a way. There's no reason that it has to. But as you quite rightly point out, SDS and Jim Crowley, the men going for this. But it should add a bit of spice towards the end of the season. 2-7 then for Sylvester de Souza to retain his crown, and is 5-2 if you fancy Jim Crowley.
What was the other thing though, Sam? We've also got to think about two things. Injuries.
Yes, of course.
Which, you know, even with the flat boys can happen, as we've seen. And B, bans.
Yes.
If they get any holidays. Mm. So that could sway the balance one way or the other.
Yeah, certainly could. Speaking of injuries, we've got two men returning to the plate in the next few days. Fran Berry has his first ride back after injury at Kempton on Wednesday evening, a few hours after we record this. And Ryan Moore will be back in the plate, not after injury. He took a break, obviously, because his wife had given birth. But good to see both of those jockeys return to the fray, Pimmers.
Yeah, it is indeed. Yeah, Fran Berry obviously had a nasty accident. He's been out the saddle for quite some time now. He steps back into the action tonight at Kempton, I think it is.
Yes.
So we'll keep an eye on that. So he comes back then. And obviously Ryan Moore, he comes back. I think he's actually been, as well as the birth of his fourth child, I think he's also had a little bit of a niggling injury.
Yeah, he was limping a little bit at Glorious Goodwood.
That's right. So I think again, a little bit of, what's that, maternity leave?
Paternity, yeah.
Not maternity.
Paternity's for men, maternity's for women.
Okay, so it's definitely paternity leave for him. Yeah, he's maybe had a little bit of that.
Yes.
Plus, that little bit of leave just help that little leg injury that he was carrying as well. So, back in the fray, the big boys. And as you quite rightly say, it'll be quality, not quantity, for Mr. Moore.
Certainly will, absolutely. We'll move on very shortly to take a look at some of the racing on Thursday. Anything else on your mind, Pimmers, just before we move on?
There's plenty on my mind. Whether we can record is something else. But I just want to say, Studio 37 here at William Hill Towers, we've got new chairs in there. It's unbelievable. I don't know how it's happened.
It's just for you, that is.
Well, it's very, very kind of
them.
They all get
taken out and put into storage when you're not here.
Oh, and then brought back for a Wednesday or Thursday.
Back out, yeah.
Well, whoever takes them out and brings them back, thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Excellent stuff. Let's move on then to take a look at four races on Thursday. Two from Leicester, one from Musselburgh and one from Wolverhampton. Pim is going to offer up his opinions on these races. We begin with the 240 at Leicester, a 7 furlong handicap. Here, the dead 8 runners are declared at the time of recording. Couple bringing winning form into the race as well. What did you make of this 240 contest?
I think, well, we had York last week. You know, the razzmatazz,
yes.
The group ones, the group twos, the group threes, the listed. And obviously, that can't last too long. And the fare that you've brought me to the table tomorrow is very much average.
Yes.
But anyway, we've still got to try and find some winners for the listeners out there. This opening race at Leicester run over 7 furlongs. I thought there was a couple here that were going the right way. Twin Point, trained by Charlie Fellows, won off a mark at 74 last time out. He's been in very, very good form of late. Very tough, very consistent. Ran on well to win by a length and a half last time out at Yarmouth. That was over the same trip, 7 furlongs. So he's definitely a player, as to his Red Paladin, trained by Kirsten Stubbs. Also been in good form of late. Again, he won at Doncaster last time in very good fashion, beating Danot. By a length and a half there. That was a fairly good race to be winning. He was soon clear on that occasion. Again, he's gone up the handicap a little bit since that success. But again, he certainly is a player. So I think the two horses that won last time out are going to be the main protagonist. And I'm just going to side with Twin Point.
Twin Point then for Charlie Fellows and Steve Donohoe gets the choice for Pimmers in the 2:40 at Leicester. We stay at Leicester now for the 3:10. An intriguing looking Phillies nursery for us here. 6 furlongs is the trip for these two-year-olds. 11 of them lined up to contest this. And as I said there, Pimmers, an interesting looking nursery.
Good little race, all for the girls. Good prize on offer, just a short of $6,500. Arena's interesting, obviously, winner of her maiden at Chepstow last time from a very good yard that's in great form, that of Clive Cox. Obviously, Adam Kirby riding out of his skin at the moment. You've got many a tale, a winner on debut at Wolverhampton last time out. That was in a 6 furlong maiden filly stakes. Again, that was a pleasing start for the Ismail Mohammed trained filly. And the other one that was interesting on debut certainly was Parsnip, who was a winner on that occasion, and then slightly disappointed, I thought, at Newmarket, but in a much better race when 9-2 favourite. Again, if there was an issue with her there, then possibly you could ignore that run and put a line through it. But for me, there's only one winner here. That form at York, for me, was high class. Stormcry, 10-1 shot on that occasion, behind the Wagon Wheel, who possibly deemed for much, much better quality than the handicap he contested in at York over 6 furlongs last time out. And I think if Stormcry turns up in any sort of form, as she did at York, she's home and hosed. She is the nap.
Stormcry then for Mark Johnson and Franny Norton. A strong selection for Pimmers in the 3:10 at Leicester. We go to Musselburgh now for their 4 o'clock. A handicap here over a mile. 10 runners stand their ground in this one. What's the pick of them?
Again, very competitive. Interesting one or two players here. I thought Junior Jack's been in good form. And Mount Rash, you know, I'm a big fan of this horse, but he hasn't won since 2014, and that was in Maidan. He's obviously coming down the weights, but how long can I keep standing on the edge of that cliff and keep following him over it?
Yes.
I'm not sure. But the problem is, the day I don't is the day he'll go in, and that could well be tomorrow at a big, big price. But that's just me and my love affair with Mount Rass. The two I'd like to look at, really, is Jack Be Quick, who Mount Rass actually used to be trained by his trainer, that of David O'Meara, the burden of 10 stone. But he ran well enough when 7th of 16 behind Breakable at Ripon last time out. And the other horse I think is interesting is Al-Al. Again, won his last couple of races, 66, 72, now a mark of 79. But Ruth Carr's horses have been in cracking form of late. Again, not an easy task now to be racing off a £13 higher mark, but he still could be a horse that is on the upgrade, and he'll be the tentative selection.
Al-Al then for Al-Al. Ruth Carr is the pick for Pimmers in the 4 o'clock at Musselburgh. We go to Wolverhampton now then for the last race on our podcast, taking one from the Tapita. This is a handicap over an extended 7 furlongs. 12 runners line up to take their chance in this one. What do you like?
Oh, this is very competitive. Again, we travelled the universe today, haven't we? Leicester up to Musselburgh, back down to Wolverhampton. I think it tells its own story. Yeah, we're travellers today, that is for sure. Very tricky handicap to try and get that fourth winner on the old podcast this afternoon. And again, there was one or two in here that I thought was interesting. I thought Pushak was interesting from the Marker Botty yard. Ran well enough, I thought, in defeat last time out here at Wolverhampton. That was in a 1-1 handicap. Drops back in trip a little bit tomorrow. That could be in its favour. I thought Ken Ivory horse, was it? Dean Ivory, should I say. Interesting. Al Jadaf, again, raced off a mark of 55 back in February, this horse. He then went to 71 to win, 73 to win. He's now up to 78, but he's definitely very progressive indeed. He won nicely, beating Lucky Hedge here last time out. That was over 6, steps up to 7. Don't think that'll be an issue. But after all that, I'm going to take a chance with Rosenberg Ryder, right at the bottom for Rafe Beckett and Fran Berry. Again, slightly disappointed, I thought, last time out at Lingfield over 7 furlongs when 11-8 favourite. But I just feel the handicap has been quite kind. Dropped down from a mark of 79 to 73 in the last two starts. Again, has the handicapper given it a chance to sneak in. So Rosenberg Ryder for me in that 8:45 at Wolves.
Okay, it's one of the three-year-olds in the race then, Rosenborg Rider, sneaking in off bottom weight for Rafe Beckett. Just give us a quick recap, please, then, Pimmers, of your four selections for the action on Thursday.
Yeah, Leicester in the 240. We're going to go for Twin Point. Leicester, 310. The nap of the four is Storm Cry. Musselburgh, 4 o'clock, El Al. And that 8:45 at Wolverhampton, the pin has fallen on Rosenborg Rider.
Excellent stuff. There we are. Thoughts of Chris Pimlott ahead of Thursday's racing. And you can hear every race live from 1:50pm with us here on Racing Radio. It's Stephen Powell, Gary Capewell and Ross Briley in the studio for Musselburgh, Leicester and Fontwell in the afternoon. Sedgefield and Wolverhampton in the evening. Two Irish meetings as well from Belluestown and Tipperary. Plenty to enjoy. Do be sure to join us for all of that. Thank you very much for those thoughts there, Pimmers. And we'll speak again soon.
Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.